I'm Lauren.
And I'm Amanda.
And you're listening to Most Wanted. Hi, Sissy.
Hello.
Welcome back to another episode. I'm Lauren.
And I'm Amanda.
How you doing this week, sis?
I'm doing pretty well.
Should I say this week, this day, how are you doing?
So
right this very second.
A little behind the curtain for everyone else. Lauren has no idea what we're doing today.
I have no idea what we're doing today. And am I nervous? No. Winging it.
She said before we hit record that like she's just stopped questioning me as I'm just like, no, do this. I'm not telling you anything.
Yeah. I just like, yes, ma'am. Which actually totally tracks. We have been trying to buy plane tickets to go to a podcast festival. And I'm like, just stop asking me. Just do it. I will just go. Like, I'm already going. I don't even know why you're asking me for any of my opinions. I don't have them.
I think I sent you a video last year before we started traveling to the last podcast festival where like there's two sisters and one of them is like has all the tickets and all the plans. The other one has like turned off their brain and just follows them around.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That is me. Yeah. It's like I'm the one that's like riding my suitcase like down ramps at the airport. Like that is me.
Yeah, exactly.
You're like running to make sure that we're like at the gate on time. And I'm like, I'll see you there.
And you're like, can I go get some food?
Yeah, like there's a McDonald's back there. I'll just meet you at the gate. What gate is it again? Okay, you know what? Just drop a pin. It'll be fine. What trip are we on? Okay, just drop a pin. It'll be fine.
But yes, we are in a surprise bonus episode. Lauren knows nothing about what's going to happen in this episode, but I think it's going to start that way too, because we're also going to talk about books.
Oh, yeah. See, this is just an episode of Lauren's also here.
No, I think you're going to love this, truly.
Okay.
What I wanted to talk about actually was a book I just finished because... Okay. Well, one of them I gave to you, so I don't want to give too many spoilers away. I gave you Finley Donovan is Killing It.
Yes.
And it's like funny crime fiction. So great. Okay. So that's my very short recommendation for that one. But I did just read a book called Whisper Network.
Oh, okay.
That it's like the Me Too movement in an office place. Like it's a sports brand. Kind of like Nike, it sounded like, where like they do shoes and clothes and stuff, but they also do like these huge brand deals.
Mm-hmm.
So the main characters are three attorneys, like in-house attorneys, three female attorneys, and then one member of the cleaning staff, and all of their different relationships with the general counsel, a male, who has different degrees of like harassment and assault.
Like oh, God.
But it's sexual assault against these women. And how when their CEO dies, he is next in line, basically. They're going to name this guy as the next CEO. And all these women are like, no.
We can't let that happen.
We can't let that happen. It's so, so good.
Oh, wow. That sounds incredible.
And it's like, it's crimey enough because the book opens with this guy, this general counsel who's supposedly about to become the CEO, he jumps off the building. And then it flashes back 3 weeks. And you get to see what led up to it and then past it.
I must read.
So good. It's so good. So that's my book review today. Is I thought you would like it, but I also thought people who like what we talk about, who like crime novels and are interested in like the Me Too women's rights and some of the Women's History Month stuff that we've been talking about might really enjoy that book. It's by Chandler Baker is the author.
Okay. Wow. Well, I guess I also have a book that I've read this year.
Please tell me about it.
One for one right now this year. Good for me. I read a book. It's called You Shouldn't Have Come Here by Geneva Rose.
I'm kind of giggling because I heard some in progress.
The top of the book, like, so it's a New York Times bestseller. So picked it up at Target. Great. And it says Geneva Rose is the queen of twists. And Colleen Hoover said that. So I'm like, great. I've read some of Colleen's work, you know, whatever. So I picked it up.
Spoiler for listeners. I am not a fan of Colleen Hoover. Laura and I have talked about this.
No,
we don't have to have that conversation on this podcast, but.
Yes.
It's a no for me, dog.
Okay. I keep thinking that they're going to get better. Anyways, we're not going there. Anyways, no. It's not. So, picked it up. You know how this book ends on page 70, and it's almost 300 pages.
What? I thought she was the queen of twists.
I literally, so all I said is that since it's like a Colleen Hoover adjacent book,
yeah,
I was like, oh, there's going to be so much sex in it. By page like 100, I went to my partner and I was like, there's no sex. And he's like, okay, like in life, where, what are we talking about? I was like, in my book. And he's like,
shit about your proclamation here.
And he's like, just keep reading. And then by page like 200, he's like, stop reading this book. Like, you clearly hate it. And I was like, no, it's like, she's the queen of twists. I have to get through it.
The twist is coming.
Yes. No twist. Oh, it's, you knew exactly what was happening on page 70.
That's so disappointing.
So I was recommended then to read a different book by her called The Perfect Marriage. And it's by someone that reads a lot. Like my friend Sydney suggested it. She has wonderful, like you, I trust her taste, like blindly. Okay. And so I'm so going to give her.
Maybe this just wasn't one of her better.
Correct. So I am books. Going to read The Perfect Marriage by Geneva Rose. And I will report back. That will be my second book. Well, no, because I'm going to read. Finley Donovan is killing it. And then I'm going to read, what did you give me? We're Saving the Sisters?
God Spare the Girls.
God Spare the Girls.
That's another one that I would like to talk about when you're done.
Okay.
Not urgent.
It's going to be Finley Donovan, then God Save the Girls, and then I'm going to read The Perfect Marriage. So in about 6 to 12 months or years, I will report back.
Or years. I have a question.
I'm not a big reader. I yes. really struggle writing scripts for this podcast because it's like, I'm sleepy.
I understand that. Truly, I understand that. I have a question based on, you said that this was a New York Times bestseller. Mm-hmm. Does it say on the cover that the book is a New York Times bestseller or that is a New York
author.
Times bestselling author? Okay.
Well, it just says New York Times bestseller Geneva Rose.
Okay, so that's talking about the author, not that book, but it's deceiving sometimes.
You know, I didn't even consider that. Yeah. But yeah.
Because if she's the queen of twists and there's no twist, I doubt that's the one that's selling the best.
I'm hoping it's The Perfect Marriage that's selling.
Yeah. I've actually heard of that book, so it wouldn't surprise me if that was one of the better selling ones.
Anyways, so that's our book review.
Yes.
Maybe we should do this every 6 to 12.
We can each pick a book every like 6 months.
Months, years, who knows? Anyways, who are we going to be talking about in this bonus episode?
Okay. So, as we exit Women's History Month, mm-hmm. I am surprising Lauren with this bonus episode that she knows nothing about. It is a complete surprise. So, we are not doing What's My Crime this week.
Okay.
I just want to tell you the story and I want you to comment throughout because I love your comments. If you have guesses as we go along, please interrupt me.
The husband did it.
Very fun. Okay. It's a good starting guess, truly.
Honestly, mm-hmm. if I know what happens by page 70 and there's 300 pages of this script, I'm done. I'm walking out.
There's not 300 pages of the script, I promise.
Okay.
So similar to the surprise thing, I'm not going to reveal my sources until the end because of the surprise. Okay. So, Lauren, are you ready for this?
Yeah, the husband did it.
Okay.
Let's
perfect.
Go.
Perfect. We're done. The husband did it.
Well, do I get a name?
Okay. So, I'm going into it. Content warnings, because I do want to do this, include intimate partner violence, abuse, and murder. So, into our story we go. Mm. This story starts at Hillsboro High School in the outskirts of Nashville, Tennessee, in 1996. Two best friends were nearing the end of their senior years, and they were trying to figure out what they were going to do next. Mary Ann Strayer was the golden student in that graduating class. She had good grades, she was in the National Honor Society, she had been homecoming queen, and she was the cheerleading captain.
All right.
But she was also a member, because she grew up on her grandparents' farm in part, she was a member of the 4-H club and the FFA. Although,
oh, she's a nerd.
Yeah. So although she wasn't planning to pursue like farm stuff in her life, but she enjoyed it. She was a horse girl.
By the way, I was also an FFA, so I'm allowed to say that. We didn't have 4-H at my high school, but I was an FFA.
Oh, yeah, we didn't. I didn't know you were an FFA.
Well, I was really good friends with the teacher, so I don't Yeah. Okay. So like I just went to all their stuff because it means I didn't have to go to class.
That makes sense, honestly. Sorry.
That tracks for me, doesn't it?
A little bit, yeah. So like I said, Marianne was a horse girl. The 4-H and the FFA and stuff, that was a fun way for her to hang out with animals and her friends. Her family was also pretty great. She was an only child. Her dad was a doctor, and her mother worked in the financial aid office at Vanderbilt University, right in Nashville. So, like I said, she kind of was the golden child in more ways than one. She was at school. She was at home. The only thing that Marianne didn't have was a boyfriend, but it actually didn't really bother her that much. She had plans for her life, and those plans mainly consisted of getting out of Nashville mm-hmm. and starting life in a bigger city.
The Nashville?
Nashville's huge now. That's my next sentence. It's huge okay. now, but in the 90s, it wasn't really like that yet. It was the capital of country music then, too, of course, but that meant that it was kind of maintaining its country feel, and Marianne wanted to go to a bigger city. And the big city.
There's a song about Nashville.
Oh, there's probably plenty of songs about Nashville. You
know, I love this bar. I think that's a song. Anyways.
Probably, yeah. He died recently.
Toby Who?
Keith. Toby Keith.
What?
Yeah, he had cancer. He
died what? Recently.
I'm so sorry that I'm breaking this news to you. I didn't know it was a...
We've talked about this. You have to stop horrifying me when we are recording. I didn't know Toby Keith died.
Yeah, it was like a week or two ago. As we record. We can talk more about that towards the end.
Okay.
If that sounds okay with you.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
Okay. I'm so sorry about breaking this news to you.
People are like, who is this woman? Where did she beam down from? I'm sorry, continue please.
Okay. So the big city that Marianne had been eyeing was Atlanta. So
okay.
In the South, that's like sometimes the place people want to go.
Okay.
Big city down there. So she applied and was accepted to Emory University, and she was mm-hmm. planning to go there for college. Mm-hmm. She was ready to spread her wings, but it was also hard for her because it basically meant leaving her best friend Wanda behind. So Wanda Maines had been best friends with Marianne since they entered Hillsboro High School from different middle schools in the fall of 1992.
Is this the one where the woman is a double personality? Is that this story? Just split personality? Wanda is Marianne? They're the same person?
No. Okay. That would be a great story, but no.
I've heard that story.
Yeah.
Might have been a Criminal Minds episode. No, I don't remember. But yeah, continue.
Not this story. That okay. would be a great story, though. Where Marianne excelled academically, Wanda excelled at soccer. It was her thing.
Oh, okay.
She wanted to play it forever. She cared very little about school because she was under the impression that she wouldn't need it. But then, naturally, the unthinkable happened, and she tore her ACL right at the beginning of her senior season, and the recruiters vanished. This was the 90s. Like, the therapy for that wasn't the same as it is now. She tried to get her grades up at that point, but it was too late. She had applied to all the same schools as Marianne and even some, I don't want to say lesser schools, state schools and whatnot in same cities as Marianne, but she didn't get into any of them. So she decided to stick around Nashville. There were plenty of bars and restaurants that she could work at while she figured out what to do next, and Marianne promised that they'd stay friends. So off Marianne went to Emory. And Wanda started working at Tootsie's Orchid Lounge, which was a very Ooh. Famous bar in Nashville. So what Wanda may have lacked in book smarts, she made up for with charm. And she was an instant patron favorite at Tootsie's.
Mm-hmm.
Might be Tootsie's. I do the long O's, Tootsie's, but it could be Tootsie's, I guess. Like Tootsie okay. Roll. I'm just, you know, we're from Minnesota. We do the best we can.
Howdy, y'all. No. Sorry, continue.
Yes. So one of the regular patrons of Tootsie's was a townie of sorts from their old high school named Earl Pasdar. Earl was about 3 years older than Wanda and Marianne, and he stayed around Nashville too, working mostly as a mechanic, but also doing some odd jobs here and there.
Okay.
He loved live country music, so he was often hanging out on Broadway in Nashville, that main street with all the bars with live music. Which is what brought him to Tootsie's, mm-hmm. whatever. He was one of those guys who definitely peaked in high school.
Okay.
He'd scored a big touchdown in one football game his senior year, and people who cheered for Hillsboro always brought that up when they saw him even years later. One of those
oh
guys.
Oh my God.
Yep. Well, it didn't take long for Earl to take a shine to Wanda while she was working at Tootsie's, and by the end of 1996, they were dating. Wanda and Marianne talked on the phone when they could, but they mostly kept in touch by writing letters back and forth because it was the 90s. So all before cell phones and all that. Wanda shared everything with Marianne, particularly about Earl. And Marianne was a bit uneasy because she remembered Earl too. Including the whispers about him being mean, to put it lightly, behind closed doors. But Wanda only had good things to say, and she gushed about how sweet Earl was to her all the time, bringing her flowers and waiting up to drive her home after work. Insisting that she didn't park her car downtown because he'd take care of her.
Oh God, no, Wanda!
But Wanda was smitten. She was left in this town, and Marianne had left, and she was kind of lonely. When Earl asked her to marry him a year later, she didn't even hesitate.
Oh God, that's too soon.
Very soon, very young. Marianne was Wanda's maid of honor, of course.
Of course.
And she came up from her internship in Atlanta for Wanda's June 1998 wedding. Mm. Everything was pastel colored and beautiful, and Wanda was incredibly happy. Mm. On the night of the bachelorette party, Marianne tried to mention her concerns about Earl to Wanda, but Wanda was in her, you know, kind of honeymoonish bubble and brushed it all off. So Marianne switched back to supporting her friend. Maybe the rumors weren't true, she thought. Maybe Earl had finally grown up. But let's just say that it's unlikely men ever grow out of their shitty ways, to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
And after the wedding, Earl and Wanda moved into a little house that was a wedding gift from Wanda's parents to them.
Okay, girl!
I know, right? It was located in the same little Nashville suburb where Wanda had grown up, so she was happy. Wanda kept her job at Tootsie's, and everyone thought that things would be fine. 20-year-old brides weren't that uncommon in Tennessee, after all.
Especially in the late 90s.
Yeah. Marianne went back to Atlanta to complete her internship and start her junior year at Emory, and they kept writing letters to each other. So things just kind of kept going as they had been. But then, not long after the wedding, Wanda's letters started to change in tone. Her happiness seemed less genuine somehow, and only a best friend like Marianne would really notice something like that in writing.
Sure.
But, like, you can kind of tell when people, like, in emails and stuff, when, like, they're kind of trying to fake it.
Yeah.
Versus when they're, like, genuinely happy. Like, I mean, if you know them well. Like, I feel like if you wrote me an email that was just, like, all exclamation points, I'd be like, ooh, are you all right? So, letters have started to change in tone. Her happiness seemed less genuine somehow. Only a best friend like Marianne would notice something like that.
Mm-hmm.
She started telling Marianne that Earl wanted her to start having babies so she could quit her job at Tootsie's. He didn't like that other men were looking at her. He didn't like that she was out late and he had to wait up for her. It was like the Earl that she knew completely disappeared and was replaced by a moody, controlling asshole, which was Marianne's fear from the beginning. Marianne's replies were as encouraging as they could be, and she always ended up with the same... She always ended with the same thing. If you need to leave him, you can always come stay with me here in Atlanta. It was a genuine offer that Wanda never took Marianne up on. Because what Wanda was hiding from Marianne was what she was also hiding from everyone else she knew. It took about 2 weeks of Wanda living with Earl after their wedding that he started hitting her.
Mm-hmm.
His outbursts were short-lived, but they were violent. And she often had to wear long sleeves in the middle of the Tennessee summer to cover the bruises that he left on her body.
Jesus.
Initially, Earl avoided her face. But once he started trying to get her to leave job, all bets were off. And she had to start applying caked on makeup to hide her black eyes and bruises.
Jesus.
This went on for a while until Marianne's parents happened to run into Wanda at the bank on a Friday afternoon. The vibrant best friend of their daughter had been reduced to a nervous shell of a person, and they got home that night and called Marianne. Marianne immediately called Wanda, but Earl was home, so Wanda said she couldn't talk, but she'd call the next day. Marianne was terrified for her friend, so she did the only thing she could think to do. She called Wanda's parents. That's when she found out, after the wedding, Wanda had basically disappeared from her parents' lives.
Oh, man.
They would try to stop by, and Earl would tell them that Wanda didn't want to see them. They'd call, and Wanda would tell them that Earl was home, but she couldn't talk. So same thing that she told Marianne when Marianne called. They'd been worried for weeks, and it confirmed Marianne's fears. Earl was the monster behind closed doors that she'd heard he was. Mm-hmm. He just saved it for after Wanda was already legally tied to him.
They usually do. Not always. Yeah,
I mean, right. But oftentimes, like, they wait for that, mm-hmm. what they think is like a safety net for themselves.
Yeah.
That legal tie. Thankfully, Wanda did call Marianne the next day. So she didn't.
Yeah.
She didn't avoid it. She actually did call. Mm-hmm. Through tears, she told her best friend everything. And Marianne quietly listened, keeping the anger that threatened to boil over inside of her. For the time being, at least, she was real angry. She went to the library on campus, Marianne did, to research lawyers for Wanda. And when they had everything together, Wanda did three things. First, she got a lawyer to help her file for divorce. Mm-hmm. Second, she went to the police to get a restraining order against Earl. Mm-hmm. And third, she moved back in with her parents, who, after speaking to Marianne, renewed their efforts to get in touch with their daughter again. Wanda felt like she was as safe as she could be. She was exhausted and scared, and she wanted the legal process to move forward without any additional effort from her. She just kind of wanted to hide, like she wanted it done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One morning, after her parents had left for work, Earl showed up at her parents' house.
Oh, fuck.
She could tell that he was fuming when she answered the door, and she told him to leave, that he was violating the restraining order just by being on her parents' front porch.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't stop Earl, unfortunately. This was the worst beating that he'd ever given Wanda. All of the anger at being embarrassed for being served a restraining order while at his job was just like bubbled over, and he punched her, he slapped her, he kicked her with his boots. He really beat her up. And then he left her there. It's hard to say, like, looking back on this, what his goal was, like what he wanted to happen, whether he was trying to kill her or if he was just so angry that he had to do something. You know, I don't think I'll ever really be able to understand the motivation of abusers personally, like, I don't know. I don't know if he was trying to kill her or not is my point.
Yeah. Okay.
But Wanda's mom had been coming home to have lunch with her daughter every day. So when she arrived home for lunch, she found Wanda in the front doorway, beaten, bloody, and unconscious, and she called the ambulance. Wanda was taken by ambulance to a nearby hospital, where she spent some time in intensive care while the swelling in her brain went down.
Oh my God.
Luckily, she woke up about a day later. The swelling went down on its own. She didn't require any surgery, thankfully. And she had minimal long-term consequences from this beating. But man, it pissed her parents off.
Yeah.
Marianne had been calling Wanda's parents' house trying to get a hold of Wanda while Wanda was in the hospital. When she finally was able to reach one of Wanda's parents, they told Marianne what had happened, and Marianne immediately flew home to Nashville to be with Wanda. Mm. She'd just finished her business degree at Emory and had been applying for jobs and trying to figure out what to do next. But when she realized what happened to her best friend, she made the decision to go back home for good.
Aww.
The next day, she sat in the hospital all day with her best friend, holding her hand as Wanda went in and out of sleep. And Marianne got more and more angry as she sat there, knowing that no matter what anyone did, this was all Earl's fault. Mm. And Earl should pay for what he'd done.
Yep. Oh, no. Oh, you bad bitch. Okay.
Once Wanda had gained a bit of strength back, Marianne started sharing her angry thoughts with Wanda. And Wanda agreed. She had originally been hesitant to do anything too harsh to Earl, but she came to a realization while she was in the hospital. Wanda thought to herself, if we don't kill Earl, he's going to kill me.
Yeah.
So when Marianne started really expressing the anger that she was feeling about everything, Wanda told her about her fears of dying. And Marianne smiled at Wanda and said, the only one dying here is Earl.
Okay, I know I really shouldn't be condoning murder, but right now, go get them, girls.
So they made a plan. Mm. Once Wanda was released from the hospital, she and Marianne moved back into the home that Wanda's parents had gifted her and Earl for the wedding. So remember, that home was
a
gift from Wanda's parents.
Right.
So Earl had broken one of Wanda's arms along with one of her legs, so she couldn't go up the stairs, and their starter house was a rambler. Mm. So it really made more sense for them to move back, like Marianne to move with Wanda back into the house instead
of absolutely
Wanda going to her parents' house, which had a second floor. So while while Wanda was getting to the point where she could be released from the hospital, Marianne went over ahead of time and cleaned out all of Earl's stuff from the house, packing it into boxes and that she put in the garage. So she did all of that ahead of time, so Wanda didn't even have to deal with it. So when Wanda, So when Wanda came home, Marianne was ready. She had put extra deadbolts in all the exterior doors, and they kept a shotgun next to the front door. She added extra locks to the bedroom and bathroom, just in case they needed to weather any kind of storm, because Earl was pretty unpredictable.
Yep.
And Earl, thankfully, hadn't been staying there since he assaulted Wanda. She also obviously changed the locks, too. I should add that. So it was easy enough to do all this preparation. He wasn't, like, there or anything. But once Earl learned that Wanda was home from the hospital and moved back into what he saw as their house, he started calling. But he wasn't counting on Marianne being there. He expected it to, like, just be Wanda by herself, I guess, or maybe Wanda and her mom. Like, I think he expected to be able to, like, charm his way back in. But I think it's safe to say that Earl didn't like Marianne. She was college educated, and she'd been on to him from basically the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they didn't like each other from the beginning. Earl had been trying to isolate Wanda from Marianne during their marriage, too, but it just didn't work all that well, because their friendship ran too deep.
Yeah.
And Marianne wasn't going to let Wanda go so easily. That was the big thing. Marianne wasn't giving up. Where, like,
right.
I think a lot of people would have been like, fine, if you don't want to return my calls, then I'm just going to stop calling. That was not Marianne.
Right.
In this situation. So when he realized that it was Marianne who was answering all of his phone calls to the house, he got more and more angry. Finally, he threatened her. "Let me see my wife," he said. "You'll be sorry you've been keeping me from her." And Marianne smiled and said, "Why don't you come over for dinner tomorrow night, Earl? You can see Wanda all you want, as long as I'm around." And Earl agreed. I'm guessing, assuming that he'd be able to charm Wanda again, and all this wouldn't be an issue.
Earl, you dumb, dumb man. Please go over for dinner.
So he did. Earl came to his old home for dinner the next night, violating the restraining order once again. And sure enough, he tried to charm his way back into his, what he saw as his home, with Marianne, or with Wanda, I mean, which didn't work at all. Marianne had cooked dinner, and what Earl didn't know was they'd put antifreeze in his whiskey cokes that he insisted on drinking the whole night. He drank a lot of them, and they included a lot of antifreeze, which is very sweet.
So yeah,
just like doesn't taste bad or anything. His speech got slurred, and he started complaining of not feeling well. So Marianne said he probably shouldn't drive home, and offered him the couch in the living room. Once he was unconscious, the poison took effect pretty quickly, but the ladies were ready. Marianne did most of the dirty work, since Wanda was basically wheelchair-bound for the time being.
Yeah.
She pushed Earl off the couch and onto a waiting tarp, then dragged him into the garage. Slowly, I'm sure. He was probably very heavy.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to be laughing. I'm just, okay. I'm
picture so, it, though. Like,
yeah, I am.
She somehow, it took a long time, but she used a bunch of other stuff, but she somehow got him into the trunk of her car. Like, in the tarp and all that. Once it got dark, Marianne drove Earl's car back to the mechanic shop where he worked, and then she walked home.
Oh.
The next day for lunch, Marianne and Wanda packed a picnic and drove to a park on a lake in a nearby town.
Okay.
The ladies spent the day lounging in the grass in the shade of a tree, reading and eating their picnic lunch, and once the sun went down, they got out a telescope that they brought with them to look at the stars, so they were staying there after dark. And once they were sure that no one else was around, Marianne dragged Earl's body out of the trunk, tied some cinder blocks to the ends of the rolled tarp, and pushed Earl off the dock into the lake. And then they went home.
Yep.
Now, this is where the story goes a little off the rails, more so than it already
I was
has.
Like, wait, what were we doing before this? I'm confused.
Yeah, it makes me nervous to tell you this part of the story, though. Because it's just like, ugh. One of Wanda's nosy neighbors had heard about the restraining order and had seen Wanda's injuries when she moved home. Because she was like in a wheelchair. Like, you could tell that she was injured. And then she saw Earl's car in the driveway until after it got dark. So that neighbor called the police.
Oh, God.
With a tip about Earl violating the restraining order again.
Okay.
But you know how police don't tend to act on stuff super quickly?
Yep.
So they happened to luckily not show up the next day and waited until like the third day to show up. But since the car was there for so long, it sounded like the neighbor was afraid that Earl had done something terrible to both Marianne and Wanda, which is the cause of their concern. I mean, it's kind of nice, but kind of like, ugh.
Yeah, right.
So the day after they had been at the lake, the police showed up at the house looking for Earl, and they had an arrest warrant because he had violated his restraining order.
Mm-hmm.
Marianne let the officers in, and they recounted the dinner that they'd had with Earl. They told the police that he'd tried to charm Wanda again, but she hadn't been moved. And Marianne swore up and down that she never let the two of them out of her sight. They said that Earl drank too much, and they let him sleep it off on the couch. He must have left during the night, they said, because they'd locked themselves in the bedroom after he went to sleep with their new locks, and the shotgun was safely in the bedroom, not in the front house, or in front of the house with Earl.
Yep.
And he thankfully never tried to get into the bedroom because of his drunken state, they assumed.
Yep.
So the cops searched the house, but all they found were his belongings in the garage, boxed up by Marianne weeks earlier, and the ball cap that he'd been wearing when he arrived. But no Earl, and no evidence of any crime. At that point, there was nothing for the cops to do other than tell Marianne and Wanda that they had an arrest warrant for Earl, and to notify them if he turned up again. A couple of days later.
All right, then.
Yep. A couple of days. I mean, cops, you know, sometimes they don't do the job they're supposed to do.
Well, yeah.
A couple days later, Earl's job reported him missing after they realized his car was parked in the lot, but he'd missed several shifts. But there were no signs of him. It was as if he vanished. Time passed, and Marianne and Wanda both went back to work. Wanda as a bartender this time at Tootsie's, not as a waitress anymore, making a lot of money in tips, and Marianne in a corporate office in downtown Nashville doing marketing.
Oh.
They saved, and together, they bought some land outside of town on Highway 109.
Okay.
They realized that they didn't really need men in their lives after all, that friendship was plenty for them.
Yeah.
They opened up a roadside stand in the summer and fall to sell fresh fruits and vegetables that they grew on their farm.
That's adorable.
And they made fresh jam to sell in the fall as well.
That's adorable.
And they didn't lose any sleep at night because Earl had to die.
Goodbye. Are you fucking kidding me? Is this like an April Fool's thing?
Happy April Fool's.
Who chicked me? Yeah, I never would have. I guess I didn't realize the other chick's name was Wanda. Mm-hmm. I don't listen to that song all that often, but... Fuck. I'm a damn fool. Did you make up his last name, or was that really his last name in the song?
I made up all the last names. So... Wanda's last name is the main singer. Sorry, the chick's last name. And then Marianne's last name was one of the other bandmates. And then Earl's last name is Natalie Maines' ex-husband's last name, who she wrote their entire most recent album about.
You chicked me!
I did.
I got through the whole story, though.
I'm so happy I got through the whole story.
I'm such a fucking idiot. They make jam in the song?
Yep, the last part is they sell Tennessee ham and strawberry jam, and they don't lose any sleep at night because they're allowed to die.
What the fuck?
Obviously, I took some liberties. I had to make it a story, but...
I've been bamboozled!
But you had a good time. I was watching your face.
I did have a good time. Okay, now I don't feel so bad about the fact that I really wanted him dead as well. Now I don't feel as bad.
You shouldn't, because that was the whole point.
Ugh! Happy fucking April Fool's Day, everyone!
I had a very good time writing this. Thank you so much.
I bet you
did.
I've literally never seen you so excited to tell a story. And I was confused. I was like, dude, I mean, like, I don't really care because obviously Earl had to die, but like, I don't really give a shit about this guy, but you're having, like, you really don't give a shit about this guy.
So, folks, if you haven't picked up on this before, I write fiction sometimes. Every time, because the first line of the song is like, starts with Marianne and Wanda were the best of friends. So every time I say their names together, I in my head hear the song. So I would say it, like sometimes I'd switch them, like Wanda and Marianne, like don't sing it. So sources for this episode include the song Goodbye Earl by the Chicks and My Weird Brain.
I would let us know at what point you figured it out.
I would love to know at what point people figured this one out.
If it was at minute 37, same.
Now, this was a fun and fictionalized story, but domestic violence is real.
Yeah.
So I don't want anyone thinking that we're making fun of it. The domestic violence hotline, you can call anytime at 1-800-799-SAFE or 1-800-799-7233. You can also text them at 88788 and send the word START to start a conversation. And you can visit the website, thehotline.org. Wanted to add that at the end. We are not making fun of violence.
No. No, I've been chixed.
You have been chixed.
I will literally never, ever, ever, ever let you go off the schedule again.
I knew I had one shot. I would never be able to do this again.
How funny would it be like next year? It's like, you tell me the exact same story. And I was like, interesting.
I did have a thought like, maybe I could do this every year and just pick a different song. It's like, no, she would never let me do this again.
I don't know. My brain's not so great. If you tell me this exact same story in a year from now, I'm going to be like, oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I get it because Earl's a dick. So yeah. I totally get it. Well, thanks, sissy. I've been bamboozled and I loved it.
I also had a very good time. I'm like cry laughing because this was so much fun.
Oh, well, thanks, everyone. And seriously, let us know when you figured out,
please,
this very real, very true story.
Very real, very true.
Hello. Okay. Well, we got to go before she turns off my computer. Okay.
Yep.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye.